Stand with me, if you would, in honor of God's word as we get into this message today. Forget and move forward. Did anybody forget to move their clocks and move them forward? You may have, but we set ours last night. I set them in here last night just to make sure everybody knew what time it was. But this message Paul talks about is very important for us as believers and followers of Christ, how we are to forget our past so that we can move forward. Follow me in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul writes here, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Lord, today we open your word. We stand in honor of it. We ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would do its work in our hearts and in our lives, that you would change us and make us more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. So verse 12 there, we read where Paul says, not that I've already attained or that I'm already perfected. And aren't you glad that Paul wasn't perfect and neither are we, right? All of us have shortcomings. All of us have things that we're quite not there yet. And we will never be until that day that we're with the Lord. And so Paul was determined, look at verse 14 there, he said, I press toward the goal, and he said, the goal of the prize of the upward call of God. What was Paul talking about there? What is the prize? What's the prize at the end? Remember that cereal box you used to get the prizes in? Kids, you don't remember. They don't have prizes in cereal boxes anymore, do they? Or do they? Some of them do. Okay, the mom with six kids, she would know. But prizes, you know, you get something. But at the end of our lives, what's the prize? To be with him, right? Didn't Paul say, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, I have what? Finished the race and I've kept that faith. And so the prize that Paul kept pressing toward was that upward calling to one day be with the Lord. How many of you want to get that prize one day? That should be all of our goal. And he said, as long as we hold on to our past, we can never really truly take hold of the future. So many things want to hold us back in our past. And we're going to look at a few of those today, that if we stay living in the past, we can never really fulfill God's plan for our future. Do you believe that God wants to do new things in your lives? You know, my dad just turned 80 on Friday. And it's amazing to watch the Lord continuing to use him and my mom at 80. Is anybody older than 80 today in here? Peg, how old are you? 86. And do you think that... Oh, you forgot. That happens, right? It's 87. And I believe the Lord still wants to do new things in you, Peg. And praise the Lord, right? And so Paul's saying here that I press forward, and holding on to the past can take different forms in our lives where we could get stuck there and not move forward. We're going to look at a few of these today. But anything that prevents us from moving forward can stop us in our tracks. It can hold us back from God's plan in our lives. And how many of you believe that Jesus Christ wants you to be free of your past today? You believe that? He wants you to be free of your past. Now we're going to look at a good thing that we can get stuck in the past with first, and then some other things as well. But how many of you know that we could get stuck in good memories or good success? Okay? Now let me just explain for a moment. You don't want to forget about good memories or forget about the successes that you have, but you just don't want to live there and base the rest of your life off of that one or two successful or memories that you may have had. Now, how many of you have had children? How many of you had the wonderful privilege to release them into the world? That's the goal, right? It's a wonderful thing, right? It's like the commercial. Maybe you've seen that commercial. The kid getting ready to go to college is on the computer looking at his screen, looking up colleges, and the mom and dad are behind him, and he can't see them, measuring the shelves, preparing what they're going to do with his room. And he's sitting there on the computer, and he's like, "Mom and Dad, are you guys going to be okay with me leaving? Are you guys going to be okay?" And he turns around and looks at them, and they put the tape measuring away. They're like, "Oh, yeah, we're going to be fine." Yeah, the goal is to release the children into the world. But sometimes it's hard to release our kids because of all the memories we have, and we can stay, no, we should keep those memories, but we could stay stuck there and remember just, and we should remember, but we could get stuck in what we call sometimes the good old days, right? Not releasing our kids will stunt our growth at times and also drive our kids crazy. Kids want to be released, right? And just a side note, kids, when you're getting older, it's not a goal to become independent. Your goal when you get released into the world is to shift your dependence from your mom and dad to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And then fulfill God's plan for you. So the good old days, how many of you ever get stuck there? What were the good old days for you? The 50s? How many of you were in the 50s? Okay, some of you, were those good old days? They were? Okay, yeah. The 60s? How about the 60s? Anybody in the 60s? They were good old days? 70s? Everybody wanted to forget the 70s, right? Let's forget that decade. Hey, that's when the Pirates won two World Series. But anyways, a side note. I was a young kid then. The 80s. It was kind of my teen, you know, the 80s, the 90s. How about good old days were the 90s? Okay, maybe a couple of you. Gina and I are going through pictures and things getting rid of, you know, with moving and all that down the road. And we came up with these pictures. One was from 1991, the good old days. Here's a picture of Gina and I. Just keep going through all these things. And I think, boy, my hair was black then. And I think, I'm not sure about Gina's, but anyways, she looks great. But look at the clothing even, the double-breasted suit and the tie and the pocket thing there. And, you know, we had some great memories of our kids growing up. That was 1991. Luke was born the next year, and then Olivia in 95. And if we're not careful, though, we get stuck there. And those were great days. But God has new things in store for us and new things in store for you. Do you believe that? How many of you can't wait for your kids to grow and get out of the house? Don't raise your hand. Nancy, you already said it. But that's the goal. But we can get stuck in the good old days. It's okay to remember the good old days, but if we get stuck there, we'll never fulfill God's plan for our future. Look at this verse in Ecclesiastes. It goes right with saying, oh, do you remember the good old days and getting stuck there? Solomon said this, the next verse, it says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. So Solomon's saying, why are you always saying, oh, do you remember those former days? They were so much better than they are today. And see, he says, that's not wise, because Isaiah said this. Look at these two verses in Isaiah. He reminded us, he said, do not remember the former things. Now again, it's good to have good memories. I'm not saying dismiss them all, but don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a what? A new thing. Does God want to do something new in your life? The answer is yes there. Yes, He does. He says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And then look what He says. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you are in a dry place, if you are in a desert spiritually, if you are wandering in the wilderness spiritually, God says, His Word says, He will make a road in the wilderness. He will even, it says, in the desert, there will be rivers. How many of you need a river sometimes when you are in a dry place? See, God wants to do something new in us, but if we get stuck in our past, we will never receive what He has for our future. God always desires to do something new in us. Don't get stuck in your old patterns. The second way we can get stuck in our past is by the mistakes and the failures that we have had. Have you ever had those? Oh boy, I can name them. Can you? And sometimes our mistakes and our failures can weigh us down, where we live under such condemnation and guilt, and we can never move forward because we've never received that healing that Jesus wants to give us. Is anybody else good at beating themselves up? Oh, wow. Okay. Some of you can relate to that. Where you've done something in your past and it messes with your mind. It always holds you back. And here's the thing, church. Jesus said, I came and I want to set you free. And He says, if I make you free, you will be what? You will be free indeed. And sometimes our past mistakes and our failures can just hold us back so much that we can't move forward. Look at Acts chapter 8 with me in Saul's life. Acts chapter 8. Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, he tried to destroy the church. He ends up writing 13 books in the New Testament, right? Isn't that amazing? He calls himself the chief of sinners. He's kind of like saying, I'm the worst of the worst. But he had to, look at this before he was changed to Paul. Verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, now Saul was consenting to his death. Whose death was that? Stephen's, the martyr. He was giving approval to the death of Stephen there. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. See, people were scattered. The apostles stayed there in Jerusalem, right? And they were scattered. Persecution brought growth to the church. It always does. And so, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, here's what Saul was doing, okay? He made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Paul, who became Paul when he was Saul, was dragging people out of their homes that were probably worshiping, because they met in homes every day, right? And he was dragging men and women off and putting them into prison. Well, Saul in Acts 9, turn over a page or two with me there. He had an eye-opening, or actually an eye-closing experience, and then an opening. Right? Acts 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Who are you? Oh, hi. We have commentary today. Then it says, so it says here, the Lord said to him, after he asked the question, Who are you? Just pause there a moment. Did Saul say, Who are you, Lord? It doesn't say, or did he say, Who are you, Lord? You know, the inflection isn't there, but I wonder how he said it. I believe that he was just wondering, Are you really who they say you are? He said, Who are you, Lord? And he goes on, and the Lord says to him, verse 5, I am Jesus. Do we believe in who Jesus is today? That he wants to set us free from our past? Saul had, he had a past, didn't he? He was dragging people out of homes that were following Jesus and the way, having him thrown in prison and consenting to their deaths. Talk about guilt and condemnation and shame that you had to live under. But he was set free of that, because look what happens next. Okay, it goes on. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now it's interesting that Paul had no sight for 3 days now, and Saul did, and he was transformed into Paul. And there could have been guilt and condemnation. It could have taken hold of Saul, and it can in us as well. Imagine Paul when he began to plant churches all over the place, right? Imagine him going into some places and probably seeing widows or orphans because of what he had done in his previous life. Because what was he doing? Taking people out of homes, approving of their deaths. You see, Satan will remind us of our past because he does not want us to move forward, and he wants us to remain stuck in our past. But Jesus said he came to set us what? Free. We can't move forward if we hold on to our past. Philippians 3:13, go back there where we began this morning. Because Paul said, as he wrote this letter to the Philippians, he said, this one thing I do. See, Paul had to remind himself, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. See, I believe that Paul, he probably struggled with those thoughts of taking people out of their homes and persecuting the church. But he had to determine in his heart, I'm not going to get stuck there in that guilt and condemnation any longer, because God has greater things in store for me. Aren't you glad that Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament? Man, that's amazing. And to move forward, we must forget our past. Paul wrote, this one thing I do, but that's easier said than done, isn't it? Let's just get real. It's easier said than done. The verses right before this that Paul wrote, look at verses 7 through 11. This is how he did it. Paul said this, these things were gained to me, verse 7, that I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, verse 8, I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul needed to know that all things he counted loss so that he could truly know Jesus Christ. He needed to stop trying so hard in his own righteousness and rather accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ in Him setting us free of our past, because the Bible says, does it not, that we are a new creation. Do you believe when you're born again, you're a new creation? Do you believe your sins were forgiven? They were. But why do we live like we're not so often? We get stuck in our past. Well, a possible reason could be this third reason. What can keep us in our past? And I believe every one of us maybe has to deal with this at some point in our lives, is unconfessed sin. Now, how many of you ever sinned before? Hands up, right? Okay, I like to say if your hand isn't up, you might as well put it up now because you just lied. Right? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that. Now, if I were to ask how many of you have sinned before in something that is always eating at you still that you've never confessed, I won't have you raise your hands there. But if that's where you are, you will never be free of your past until you confess that. That's hard. But it's confessing it to the Lord first. And then sometimes we got to confess it to somebody else if it involves someone else, right? If we have offended someone, if we have done something against someone, and even though that person may not know it, but it's on our heart heavy. Have you ever been there before? Anybody? Okay. Where until you confess that, it's like a weight. It's like we can't move forward because we're stuck. But there's a wonderful verse in 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of all what? Unrighteousness, or all our sin, so that we don't have to live there any longer. So confess to the Lord. And then a brother or a sister, if you need to, or confess to one another so that you may be healed, the Bible says. Are you with me there? It's hard stuff. But that's when life gets good after that, because healing begins, because then you take the shackles off, right? We sing that one song, take the shackles off, and then we begin to walk into the plan that God has for our lives. Look what David had to deal with in Psalm 32, if you would. Just a few verses from here. You see, we can never live in freedom with hidden or unconfessed sin in our lives. We can't. Because the Spirit of God lives in us if we're believers, right? And if He lives in us, and if we're trying to cover things, we can't have freedom and we can't move forward. David, did he have things he needed to confess? Aren't you glad for his example in the Bible? Look what David wrote here. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Aren't you glad for forgiveness? Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now look what David says. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. And then here it is. I acknowledged my sin to you, That's a beautiful thing. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Can you say amen, church? He wants to forgive us. His desire is to forgive us. David got to a point where it was so heavy upon him that until he confessed it, he was living in that place of just heaviness. Look at the last verse in that chapter. I love this. At the end, it starts out like, man, I'm heavy. This is hard and this and that. But look at the end of this chapter. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Isn't that a beautiful ending there? Why? Because he confessed. Why? Because he got it out. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins one to another, we shall be healed. Man, there's forgiveness. There is healing. There is goodness. There is joy awaiting us. He said, shout for joy. David could shout for joy again. That's a beautiful thing. And so can we. Oh. Jesus, in Luke 9, turn there with me a few more verses. Luke 9. It says here, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, it's interesting how Jesus answers people in the Bible. It would have been good to hear maybe, okay, that's great, follow me. But Jesus always says, count the cost, right? Before you follow. So Jesus responds to him like this. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now I picture that guy thinking, why did he say that? I picture him thinking, why did Jesus just talk about birds and foxes and you have nowhere to lay your head? When all the guy said was, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Really interesting, huh? Well, then it says, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you a question. How can a dead person bury a dead person? Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, let the dead bury the dead. So how can a dead person bury a dead person? What's that? Exactly. Jesus is saying here, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. He's saying, you have a calling. And as you read this more and study this a little bit more, this person was probably someone, their father, it wasn't like they were having a funeral that day, but this person was probably saying this, my father is elderly, he's getting older, and I'm going to stay and I'll bury him when he dies. Now that's, you don't want to get, that's a good thing. But it's not a good thing whenever you are spiritually minded and God has a purpose and a plan for you. And it's an example of, are we so just concerned about the physical because this person, it seems like, was spiritually dead and said, hey, I got to go bury my father. See, things in the, how many of you know there's a spirit realm? There is a spirit realm. And we are to walk by the Spirit of God and not be so focused always just on the physical. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, the Bible tells us, right? Against physical things, but the spiritual forces of evil. See, we are in a spiritual realm as well. And Jesus is saying here, let the dead, the spiritually dead, worry about the dead. And then he goes on and he says this. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. How many of you have ever plowed before? Carl? Okay. Jerry? Yeah? I don't think I've ever done that. No. You plow, right? And you want to look where? Straight ahead, right? What happens when you begin to look back? You go different ways, right? You lose your focus. Interesting how Jesus uses these analogies. There's a lot in there about farming, right? There's a lot in there about the soil and farming and this and that. But he's saying anyone having put his hand to the plow, in other words, you're following me because that's what that was about. I will follow you. Well, I got to go bury my father. I will follow you. Well, this and that, this and that. Jesus said, once you put your hand to the plow, once you give your life to me, don't look back. You'll get stuck there. And if you get stuck in your past, you'll never fulfill God's plan for your future. We are to forget and move forward. There are other things that hold us back in the past. Unforgiveness. You ever had to overcome that? Unforgiveness can hold us back in our past. Hatred, jealousy, envy, pride, the list goes on and on, right? So many things can hold us back, guilt and shame and all that stuff. But Jesus wants us to be free so that we can go forward. Are you with me, church? Romans 8. Let's go there a few more verses. A couple more verses. Romans 8, 1. Paul writes this. What a beautiful work of Paul. You know, you read the Gospels and you see the words and the works of Jesus and the parables and all that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you get to Acts and you see this significance of his death and Christ and why he died. And man, what a great, powerful book that Paul wrote here. Romans 8, 1, Paul says this. He says, therefore, there is what? There is no condemnation. No guilt, no shame to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. A lot of times we stop there. But it goes on to say, who do not walk according to the what? The flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because why? We live in a spirit world too. If we walk according to our flesh and we keep piling condemnation on us because of the things we've done or the things we think about or whatever, that condemnation, we're walking by the flesh, will keep us under condemnation. But if we walk freely, forgiven by Christ, we will walk by the Spirit of God and we won't have that condemnation. We won't have that shame weighing us down and we'll begin to move forward into the plans He has for our lives. How many of you would be honest and say, I have things from my past that keep coming back to me? Let me just see your hands. Be honest. That they keep coming back. They keep coming back. They keep wanting to get me down, and I'm tired of it. You see, I believe that Jesus Christ wants to set us free. And the only way that I know that happens is by His Word and the Holy Spirit and the remembrance of what He did and getting on before Him every day and saying, I can't do this. I can't get these things out of my mind myself. I can't do this in my own strength. In the Word of God, in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus begins to walk with you through that. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us. Paul writes this. Man, he had to remind himself of this, I'm sure. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creation. Behold, all things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. See, those old things, He wants them to pass away so that you can walk in the newness of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Forget what is behind you. Is that easy? It is not. But through Christ, all things are possible. And it's only through Him. Move forward into His plan for your life. Jesus Christ wants you to be free. John 8, verses 31, 32. We'll end with these and one after this. John 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed." Now notice that. If you do what? Abide in what? This. If you don't spend time in this, you will never be free. If you neglect this word, you won't walk in freedom. You must be sure to get this in you every day. You need it. I need it. And even when it's in us, life is still hard, right? I can't imagine if it wouldn't be in me. We like to eat good food, right? I always think about lunch this time, you know. I don't know what's for lunch this week. Last week was amazing. Pork and sauerkraut, corn, potatoes. It was so good. I like to eat. Gina says, "Man, you're something. You eat one meal and you're already thinking about what you're going to eat the next meal." Like, yeah, I do. And I like to eat. And I wouldn't go without a meal if it was before me. This is before us every day. We sometimes put ourselves in the position of being spiritually weak and living under condemnation because His word is not abiding in us. When it's there for the taking, right? It's there to put it in you. And as we put it in us, then we begin to see, oh, then we'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set me free. Verse 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son," this version says, "makes you free." If the Son makes you free, you shall be free on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Sundays. No, it does not. Says, "You shall be free." The only way I know for that to happen is through this, the Holy Spirit, and letting Him do it. He wants us to be free. Amen, church? He wants us to forget our past. He wants us to move forward into His plan for our lives. And He has a great plan for each and every one of us. So let Him set you free. Let Him set me free. Maybe now I preach to myself. Don't think I'm preaching up here at you. I'm right there with you. Okay? I am with you. It's a process we're in. Life is not easy, right? It is not. But we need His help every single day.